Even the nine can be categorized according to
Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Page 22. The unhappy occurrences are classified in four varieties, namely delusion about one's own constitutional position, sorupa brahma, a desire for iniquitous activities, asat trishna, offenses, aparadh, and dastardliness, hridaya dorvalya. Okay, so. Right, so there's, and each of these then, I mean, so give a general, I think it'll just give a general understanding here. Forgetting one's own constitutional position, every living entity has become illusioned under the vanity of some other position, and as such, is delusion about one's own constitutional position must at first be eliminated. Right, so the living entity, as long as he thinks he's anything other than eternal servant of Krishna, whatever he's identifying with, that's going to be a problem. Whatever position, whatever social status, whatever, you know, whatever kind of value that he identifies himself as. You know, he's very intelligent, very powerful, very strong, very whatever it may be. That's going to keep one away from Krishna, right? Because as long as one identifies with the conditional, then the constitutional will not manifest, right? It doesn't mean that one doesn't understand the conditional and works with it, but it means that one doesn't identify with it. One just knows that this is the conditioned nature, and this is what one works with it. Okay, so that's the first one. So we see here is that it's very clear on establishing the nature of the Godhead and the nature of the soul, right, and what their relationship is. So that's very clear. Right? Then in the process of devotional service, that those having been established, then the process can work nicely. Right? So then the first thing to be removed is the idea that we are this body or anything connected to it. Right? Then the next. However, this sort of delusion about one's own constitutional position may not be eliminated in a day, and as such, it should be developed through a gradual process of practicing service to Lord Krishna. The dignity of realization that I am servant of Lord Sri Krishna is the actual attainment of knowledge in one's own constitutional position. The practice of offering service to Sri Krishna together with this kind of dignified realization of servitude may very well be considered to be the best, to be the truest form of offering devotional service to Krishna. Right? Because we were discussing before is that Shonaka Rishi has made the point that you have the performance of activities that get you results. Then there's the attitude in which you perform them. Right? So when we're dealing with these, then the minimum point we look at is like the good qualities, right? That we're detached, you know, that we're forgiving, that we're kind, we're merciful, all these different elements. Then those things then are being brought out as important, right? But so that gives us the idea, because everybody can relate to that. Everybody can relate to the understanding that, you want the fan back there? Like that? Huh? It's okay? So then, so that establishes in us the idea that attitude's important, but the most important attitude is I am servant of Krishna. Right? So service being done with that attitude, then that gets the best, the truest form of offering devotional service. Right? So service with the proper understanding. So when it says knowledge, then there is knowledge of what is the service itself, how it technically works according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But then there's the position of what's the attitude behind that, what qualities you have to have that is being done not for ourselves, but as from the platform of detachment. Okay, that's the next one, right? Because we see the first one is then it is pious, manamoya is being established properly. You know, art and kama are proper because you have the knowledge by which performing it, you'll get the result. So the art is in place, right? Then you're doing it with the proper qualities and understanding of your relationship with the object and anything else that may be connected to it. That puts your dharma in place, right? You understand that this is not for us. You know, the nature of how the material energy is functioning and how we're just the instrument in this and all that. That will then, your jnana is in place, right? The vijnanamoy is in place. But understanding here that you are, what is your position as eternal servant of Krishna, then that places it then within devotional service. Does that make sense? So one, therefore, when he's saying here, also the element of knowledge, we look at it, that's the jnana, but it also here, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, is that the constant, knowing that I am serving the Krishna, that's actually the highest form of knowledge of one's constitutional position. Right? So that's what you're trying to get to. Right? Is being able to function within one's constitutional position. So I am servant of Krishna, that is generic. Everybody has that. Radharani thinks that. Right? So they all think that. Then within that, they have this specific form of service. Right? Does that make sense? So these are all very important, that all these elements are there. Right? Knowledge of the skill, knowledge of the attitude, or let's say the human quality, you know, the relationship, knowledge of actual the metaphysics of how everything works, that we're not the body, we're the soul, and the energies, how they are at play in the material energy, and then knowledge that I am servant of Krishna. So we can see that this Dasamul then is the top of all this knowledge, because it's establishing all that very, very clearly. With that, then you can, everything else becomes very easy to understand. Right? Otherwise, why would one be motivated to look at it from the transcendental platform or from the platform of qualities? Right? Unless one's established one's actual position as servant of Krishna. Does this make sense? Yeah? You understand this broad thing? So your action then is something that will gain something, so the artha is there, but is being done according to the rules of Shastra, therefore it establishes as dharma. Right? It's in relationship to your position. Right? But also, the position of the soul is to perform activities that aren't for himself, that's naishkarma, through sacrifice. Right? Sacrifice is the natural position of the human being. Right, and then the most natural is the position of the soul is to serve Krishna. So even your karma is then working at all these levels. Does that make sense? Like that. So your jnana is working at these levels, right? Your bhakti is working at these. I mean, yeah, yeah. Within karma, then there's the element, the emotional element, and then the efficiency element. Does that make sense? So we always have to be able to distinguish these. If you can't distinguish between the efficiency element and the emotional element, you'll always have a problem. Because in the pursuance of being efficient, one will lose the emotional element and therefore relationships. Many times people are wondering, I'm doing so good, everything's happening, I'm on top of everything, but everything's falling apart, no one likes them. Why? Because they only caught the efficiency aspect. The efficiency is artha. You understand? Emotions are held together by dharma. So in other words, you understood the dharma of the activity, but you didn't understand the dharma of your relationship in this situation, why you would even be doing the activity. Does that make sense? I have a machine, I push the button, it turns on. Okay, that's the artha aspect. Because by doing that, I get the result. It's observable. Does that make sense? But dharma, why would I even be pushing the button to turn it on? What's my relationship with this machine? Otherwise, the machine is the button does the work and makes the machine go on. So then it's, you know, is it I am the subject because I pushed the button and the machine went on? Or the button is the subject, machine is the object, and I am the instrument for having just pushed the button. So the relationship's actually between the machine and itself. Right? And it produces a result, which is also part of its circle. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the problem is unless we see why are we using this machine to get something done, then we miss out on the whole human element. Right? The relationship is missed. The relationship with the machine is fine. But relationship, why we would even be doing that? Why is it our dharma that we would be pushing the button? Right? What? How will that enhance the relationships with others? How will that be pleasing Krishna? Right? So, therefore, all these other aspects have to be considered. It's not enough just to get it done. It's a start. But what's being pointed out is you start there, but with time you should gradually understand more. Right? Does that make sense? Try to broaden this, deepen this. Does that make sense? Then the realization of one's own constitutional position is awakened under the mercy of the spiritual master. The disciple as well should be avowedly enthusiastic in realizing his own constitutional position. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, he gives directions by which this understanding of one's constitutional position is awoken. But you have to actually be enthusiastic to learn that, gain that. Right? Because otherwise you can give instruction, but if people don't take it and contemplate it and apply it, then it won't happen. Does that make sense? So if you want it to happen for you, you have to do it. But that doesn't mean it's independent from the spiritual master. No, you want it to happen, so you make it happen by getting those instructions and then following them. Right? This makes sense. At the initial stage, the more the unhappy occurrence. At the initial stage, the more the unhappy occurrences would start disappearing, the more will be the disappearance of all subsequent unhappy occurrences. Namely, the desire for iniquitous activities, asat trishna, etc., along with them. Okay, so when one removes the anartha of delusion about one's own spiritual position, right? Then as that is done, then these unhappy occurrences or anarthas start to go down, and with these anarthas going down, then the desire for material taste, right? Trishna means taste. So asat means the taste for that which is not real. Then starts to wane, starts to go down. Chaitanya Tirtharaj. Do we have a Chaitanya Tirtharaj? Huh. That's him or that's... He's Chaitanya Tirtharaj. Oh. Okay. The thirst for property and riches, or for worldly pleasures and enjoyment, is considered to be the desire for iniquitous activities, asatrishna. Heavenly pleasure, sense gratification, and pleasure from wealth and one's own people, men and money, all are simply desire for iniquitous activities. The more one's own realization of constitutional position becomes clarified, the more evidently there must be a detachment from all sorts of rusticity of sensationalism. Okay. Rusticity. Okay. Sensationalism. So here, sensationalism means something to do with the senses, something to do with it's exciting, right? Because a taste for it means that there's an interest in it, a drive for it, right? So that then being there, then how you say? So it's a very interesting way of using it, sensationalism, because generally we just think it's something big splash. But the whole point is we actually how we involved in the material world, because we think everything's sensational. Whatever we're involved with, we think is great, right? Okay, does that make some sense? So is that these are all the various aspects of asatrishna. Property, riches, worldly pleasures, enjoyment, heavenly pleasures, sense gratification, pleasure from wealth, from one's own people, men and money, right? So all these different things that, you know, what we get from family interaction, what we get from community interaction, what we get from anything where someone is interacting with you, right? That you would call your own. Like this, all these different aspects. Okay. Along with it, one needs to be intently enthusiastic in avoiding all offenses relating to the holy name, nam aparad. While chanting the holy name and avoiding such offenses, the wealth of devotional love is soon attained. Okay, so that was the next one, offenses. So when one is understanding the constitutional position, practicing devotional service properly with all the proper right attitudes, that proper knowledge, and everything, then, you know, in other words, with the understanding of the Dasa Mool, then the desire for means the problems from material energy get less, because the desire for these activities becomes less. So along with that, then we should be careful to avoid the 10 offenses, right? So that's another endeavor. Does that make sense? In other words, we're specifically trying to act according to our natural position, right? By performing things in proper understanding in devotional activities, right? That will reduce the other things. We can be making that endeavor, but the real reduction in the taste for material life will be in the performance of devotional service in the proper knowledge and attitude. Right? Does that make sense? I'm gonna leave you alone, these guys. Okay. Now, another endeavor is then to avoid the 10 offenses. Right? That's an endeavor you can make. Right? An endeavor to understand and practice, you know, properly your constitutional position. Right? The anartas go on the side, but you shouldn't remain attached to them. You shouldn't be cultivating them. You should be, willing to allow them to go away as they do by the devotional process. Right? Then you make an endeavor for avoiding the 10 offenses, right? So if these are there, then development of love of Godhead comes very quickly, right? Now the last thing then, dastardliness. Okay. Any kind of activity which involves lethargy, yielding to rustic matters. Rustic, I guess, means what kind of? Could be rough. Yeah, rustic activities. Yeah. I think he's a bit rustic, means it's a bit unrefined, undeveloped. What are you saying?
That's just kind of something really
real, yeah. Rustic. Yeah, okay, rustic. Okay. Yeah. Tirtha he found. Chaitanya Tirtha. Okay, which involves lethargy, yielding to rustic matters. Right. So, in other words, laziness will give rise to a lack of refinement. Right. Lack of care and sensitivity, because you're not willing to make the endeavor. Because sensitivity means you have to be active. Okay. Bewilderment under all sorts of dejection. Right. Okay. Means that something's going to go wrong, so the mode of ignorance, then you think, oh, I'm incapable. You become insecure. So why would you be insecure? Right? Because we're not material energy. We're not dependent on the results of material energy. Right? We become insecure because we identify with it. So it's a problem of the constitution. Right? So then, so this lethargy means we're not endeavoring to understand that. Right? We just want to let it be as it is, and then we become overwhelmed. Distraction from pure devotional service by the way of false arguments. Which means these arguments, we get distracted from the actual path of devotional service because of being distracted. We get distracted because of having false understanding, like this. You know, we make up, we have, you know, doubts or misgivings that therefore we don't perceive the philosophy properly. And because of that, it gets in the way of our development, our devotion. Niggardliness in devoting entire vitality in practicing offer, in practicing offer of, in practicing our offer of service to Lord Krishna. In other words, miserliness, right? It's not, how you say? We're holding back. We're not giving our full endeavor, right? Like that. So there's something that, but it's understood. That's it's not that one is unaware of it. One is aware, but one is not enthusiastic. Right? Does that make sense? So that you're not giving your, you know, everything, you know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the term, everything and all. Give your everything and all. So it means always be, you know, whatever is within your control and command, that's being used for Krishna's service. Hmm? Yes.
It's a case then that living entity actually it's insecure. Or
can be insecure, can be just thinking that he's something special, so he doesn't need to give that endeavor. In other words, there's some improper identification that therefore he thinks he doesn't have to work. Right? He just sits there and everything will come to him. Right? Because you sat there as a baby, everything came to you. Right? You don't even have to pay attention. You know, you're trying to walk off, but still you get dressed. You know, your mother is there, you know, putting something on, putting you back, you know, putting this on, going back, you know, getting this on, getting back. So you're not even paying attention, and it's happening. Right? So this kind of mentality, then when you grow up, you think it's still going to be the same. Right? So, like that. Does that make sense? But when you're small, you're unaware of it. When you're big, then you're actually very proud of it. When you're small, you don't think you deserve it. You just need it. When you're big, you think you deserve it. Right? Because that's the whole point. As soon as you think you deserve it, that's when you don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, women will never be taken cheaply. As soon as you think, I deserve this, that they have to do this for me, that's the nanosecond, they won't do anything for you. So as soon as you think, I deserve this, material energy is not going to provide anything. Right? She's feminine also. Does that make sense? So that is a very, very important element, even just socially. So we can see all of these is that it's not pleasing because we have to work under someone else. Right, and that someone else is another form of feminine energy. Right, so we're either working under the internal potency or the external potency. And as soon as we think we deserve something, neither of them are going to provide anything. Does that make sense?
And it also actually creates obstacles in understanding we are the servant of the Lord or servant
yeah,
of anyone.
Creates obstacles. That's what it's called, dastardliness. So, yeah, it basically means weakness of heart. So weakness of heart is just, we want it, but we don't, it's not the way it really is. We want it. The other one is we're interested, you know, oh, this is, that's special, this is nice, this is this. Is that, that sensationalism, everything's very nice. This is the weakness of heart, where we just think we deserve it. Right? We lethargy, it should just come to it. You know, rustic, we don't make the endeavor, we're just rough, but we expect everything to work nicely. Bewilderment under all sorts of dejection, distraction from pure devotional service by way of false arguments, niggardliness in devoting entire vitality and practicing of service to Lord Krishna. Repudiating one's own real position of humbled wretchedness through illusion of a puffed up vanity owing to nationality, wealth, erudition, manpower, handsomeness, and strength. Right? In other words, becoming proud, repudiating means what is going against, or it's like going against one's own natural position of being a servant of Krishna by thinking you're very proud of your material opulences, whatever they may be. You know, power, control, beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, any of these like that. That puts you into the mode of ignorance. So we can see here, Hridaya Dalbalyam is then like a committed ignorance. You know what I'm saying? The first one, the Sarupa Brahma. So Brahma means an illusion, means we don't understand that we're not the body. But this is like a determination. You understand there's a difference? A subtle difference is there. Like that, you know. Okay, then. You think? Okay.
It's actually... It's actually even like a pride that we are this body.
Yes, it's a pride we are this body. And the body is good. It's wealthy, it's powerful, it's good looking. You know. Like that. Like that. So, yeah, it's a problem. Oh. Okay. Steering under the influence of sinful tendency. So making your decisions and directions in life based on sinful tendencies. Right? So that's also a problem. We have that attachment and then we make all the decisions based that way. It's not that we're attracted to it. We make our decisions and plans in life based on it. Right? Like that. Yes.
An example can be given in the trash.
An example of Dhritarashtra.
This particular.
Yeah, that would be there. He knows everything there, but yeah, he's weak. He's attached to his son, and because of that, then he makes all his plans against the Pandavas. So that his life is being steered by that attachment. Yeah, that's a good example. Okay. Or advice. Okay, sinful tendency or advice. So the advice is sinful, like Shakuni. Now that's definitely not good advice. Right? So, or his sinful tendency is attachment to his son. So in this way then, everything's going off course. Carelessness and purification of dogmatian. In purification of dogmatian. Of dogmatian and bigotry. I get it. What's dogmatian? Huh? Dogmatism? That's probably another form of it. This is just back when, you know, grammar was more broad and you could do more things with words. So, yes. Yeah, so, what is dogmatism?
I guess
it's following the
rules.
Following the being dogmatic. Okay. Carelessness and purification of following the rules, just to follow rules, or being biased against, particular activities or situations. Does that make sense? You don't want to do something Vedic, or you wouldn't want to do something modern, you wouldn't want to do this, or you wouldn't want to do that. You know, so you're so dogmatic, you follow all the rules nicely, so therefore, you know, you won't use a car in Krishna's service, you know, like that, or... Does that make sense? So, whatever forms it may be that you have a predispositions against something, where you don't actually know what it is, you know, I mean, in other words, there may be a generic predisposition, you don't like something, so therefore in the actual detail of what you have to deal with, though it may be different, you still won't see that. So it's still ignorance again. Right? We see all these come back to an ignorance, a pride, an inability to see something as it is. And so therefore the activity is either not there or improperly directed. Right? It's either lazy, so it's not happening, or it's improperly directed. Reluctance to be merciful owing to anger, right, means that someone's upset you and you're reluctant to be kind because they have upset you. Illusion, envy, and impatience, false vanity and egoism. Oh, no, false vanity and egotism of being a Vaishnav. Oh, okay. While nurturing high hopes for earning fame or reputation through crookedness. This false vanity and egoism of being a Vaishnava is mean being proud of being a devotee. It'll always be a problem here, but it's one of those ones, even you get rid of all the other ones, you still got to work with this one. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Because I am a devotee, see, it's like I am God. That's impersonalism on that side. I am a great devotee, like that, is then on the other side. Does that make sense? Because the great devotees are already there. We're assistants and servants of the great devotees. You know what I'm saying? So one you want to replace God, the other one you replace the devotees. You know? So in any case, it's not good, yes.
Is there any genuine pride?
But that's because it's what's given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's there. So we're proud to be part of that. Yes. And so therefore, we can be very, very bold in presenting things in that, because it's not us. It's not us speaking. Krishna spoke to Gita. This is what he said. You know, like that. You like it, you don't like it. This is what he said. We're sorry. You know? So we don't have from our own side that we're reluctant to say that because you might think bad about us or this or that. No, this is just the way it is. But it's not due to arrogance where we think, I'm a great devotee, I know all this, you don't know this, so therefore I'm telling you. No, there's a difference. One is because your own pride, you're inspired to speak. The other is that it's the glories of the Lord so you're speaking, because you're the humble servant. You're just carrying them. So if Krishna is making strong points, you can make them strongly. Right? Because you're just assisting in getting them done. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, while nurturing high hopes of earning fame or reputation through crookedness. Okay, so it means you're not acting necessarily properly, but you're hoping that you'll be recognized as a great devotee. You know, so the activities that you do perform, you perform them, you know, very obviously others would notice them. You know, it's just like you see business persons many times, how they got the money, you don't want to know about. But when they give it in charity, they want everybody to know that they're giving in charity and they're such a nice person and so special. When they give the check, you know, the check's always, you know, 5 feet long and 3 feet wide so that everybody can see it, you know, and, you know, like that. And pictures are taken, you know, everybody's holding it and smiling, looking at the camera, all those kind of things. So here is basically earning fame or reputation through crookedness. You understand? So it's like, what we do right, we're trying to get fame and stuff for. and what we don't do right, then, you know, we're basically, you know, that's just practical. You know, just being, being ourselves. Right? Does that make sense? And oppression of other living entities with a desire for achieving sense gratification, wealth and opulence, as well as women, appears out of dastardliness alone. Right? So all this is what you call dastardliness. Okay. Yeah, so this is Dhanam Janam Sundarim, right? So you're oppressing other living entities with, you know, to get whatever you're going to get, trying to get things. It doesn't mean that having these things is a problem. It's that your method of going about it and your need for them, that's the problem. Does that make sense? Chittaketu is flying around in his airplane, you know, full of Vididhara ladies. But he's on the transcendental platform, so it doesn't matter. They could have been ladies, they could have been men, they could have been monkeys, it could have been anybody. But it didn't matter to him. Right? So, but whoever they are, he deals nicely with them. Right? Does that make sense? Lord Shiva, he goes by, Lord Shiva is sitting with his wife, sitting on his lap, while he, under a tree, as a, you know, not having anything, and speaking to a bunch of renunciates, you know, while his light wife is sitting on his lap. Because he also has no, he's detached. Right? So the problem is not having wealth, opulence, women, it's a matter of the mentality behind it. So when the mentality is that of dastardliness or the matter of asat trishna, right, then there's problem. Then that will get in the way, it will cause namaparad, and it will cause illusion when it comes to the Sarupa Brahma. Yes?
Can you define what is crooked?
Crooked.
And if someone is crooked, does it disqualify them for being in the wrong direction?
There's crooked. Crookedness basically means that one's not straightforward. Right? One's doing one thing and then at the same time he's, you know, he's presenting himself one way but doing something different. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean that he's presenting himself one way because that's sincerely what he wants to be, and these other things are coming up just due to bad habit. You know what I'm saying? This means is that he intentionally is doing things in this other way. You know, and at the same time trying to present himself as being something very, you know, good. Does that make sense?
In this first case, this would be Abhijit Subhashana.
Yeah, it'll be that, but it'll also be just, you know, some other aspect of weakness of heart or asat Krishna or something. Is that is just there from previous, and one is just working on it to remove that by the proper performance of devotional service. It's understood. No one's going to be perfect in the process of sadhana bhakti, right? Otherwise, if they were perfect, it would be called bhava bhakti. Right? But because it's not, therefore then it is you know, Vaidhi Sadhana Raghs, like there's going to be some mistake like that. But as time goes, as he mentions, the mistakes are less and less, the unhappy occurrences are less and less. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Whoever is contemptuous to these 10 maxims, considering to be an inference only, will never be able to obtain perfection in offering devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. Right? So in other words, that you're taking this is that these are only something that gives an indication, but it's not actually, you know, real substance. Then is a problem. Because in other words, this is shabda. This is authority. But if you think it's not authority, it's just inference, and through my own intellect and my own authority, I will establish what's right. Then one will never progress. One will never obtain perfection in offering devotional service. It just won't happen. Because these are Lord Chaitanya's instructions, so you can't be contemptuous towards them. Whenever any prospective venerable disciple approaches the spiritual master, the disciple should be directed to give intent perusal to this scripture before he is initiated into the process of five sacramental purification, the Panchasamskara, within the fold of Sri Sri Chaitanya community. If this can be properly effected too, no unqualified person will ever be able to pollute and tarnish the unblemished image of the community sponsored by Sri Sriman Mahaprabhu. Thus ends the treatise. In other words, if someone understands this very nicely and therefore is determined to practice it, then there'll be nobody in the Vaishnava community that doesn't belong there. No? Does that make sense? Because they will be practicing properly, they will know how to avoid all these different anartas. Right, they'll have the proper understanding of what is their position, so therefore how to properly perform their devotional activities. Right. So is there any other questions on this? And otherwise, then for Monday, we'll move on to the Sikshamrita. Right. Something else? Nothing else? No? Yes.
It's not directly related to this. Dhanavadar Swami, in his book, Works of Devotion, he describes the different kinds of sinful actions, how they disappear, how they are destroyed by the performance of bhakti. And the way he describes it, that it starts from aprarabdha, different kinds of aprarabdha karma, and then it goes to prarabdha, this is the last stage.
Right.
But apparently Dhanavadar Swami describes it.
Well, I'm saying it's like when you're describing. Do you hear? He was describing is that when you're performing, you're removing the anartas. So then you're dealing with karma. So there's the four aspects of karma. You have the bijam, kutaj, prarabdha, and aparabdha. Right. So then these different stages that'll be there. So then. He's saying that Dhananda Maharaj is describing it in one way and Bhanu Maharaj is seemingly describing it in another, right? So it's like in the what do you call it? Sharanagati, the six symptoms of surrender. You can either describe it starting from the mood that is there, right? That, how do you say? Well, let's say, either start describing from, okay, you take up, you accept what's, you give up what's unfavorable, accept what's favorable. So Krishna is your protector and maintainer, and then identify as a devotee and are meek and humble, right? So then the neophyte is taking up this stage of giving up what's wrong and accepting what's right. So he's situating himself in the Vaidhi Bhakti. Then he sees Krishna as his protector and maintainer, so therefore he knows whatever activities he's doing, that's not what's taking care of him, Krishna is taking care. So this would be then a Naishkarmya stage, then it would be the Madhyama. Then when we get to the Uttam platform, then he fully is identifying as a devotee of Krishna and he's fully meek and humble. Right? We could describe it that way. One can also describe it that, you know, in that taking it up is that until he understands I am servant of Krishna, right? His constitutional position here, right? And becomes humble, right? Then he can't give up what's improper and accept what's proper, because he has a different identity and he's proud. Because we can see is that this pride makes this Hriday Darbalyam, you know, that's what keeps it alive. So when humility is there, that goes, that can be dealt with, right? And if you identify as servant of Krishna, then Krishna becomes attractive, not the material energy, right? Then you can take that up, then you naturally become situated like that, then it comes back to there, but now in the advanced position, right? So it's not that they can't be described from another place. Does that make sense? So then the point is that if you're taking the process, you have a seed, right? That seed sprouts because of the performance. You have a desire for a particular activity. Because you have the desire for the activity, you perform the activity. Having performed the activity, that will then create it will sprout. Having sprouted, it will grow into a tree, which then has all, you know, in other words, yeah, and then that will give the fruits, right? The resultant. So in other words, it The Fulan Mukha means what's before the manifestation. Means the situation is set. Everything is exactly the way it needs to be for you to get your karma. Then you walk into that situation, then you get it. Right? So you can say is that's the order there. Same time is it's in that situation of the prarabdha karma that you are performing an activity. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, you're dealing with free will. Your free will is there when your predestiny arrives. Right? And so therefore it's because of that activity then the seed is sprouted. Right? Because you have so many desires in that situation, you could do anything, but you've chosen this one. Therefore then you start the whole thing. So it means you can shift it either way, it doesn't matter. Also, it's important to understand this bijam creates another seed. So when you perform an activity, it creates the desire to do it again. But what's very, very important to note in this for one's practice of devotional service, it only creates one. Right? It means you've desired to do this activity. It only produces one desire to do it again. It means it's one time, it's not one time and that's it, finished. It means another time. But it's not unlimited times, it's another time. So if you don't take it, the situation comes up, you don't take it, that goes. You understand? But because desires are very subtle, in any one given situation, you may have so many varieties of desires to fulfill within that. So therefore, you got to deal with all those. So it appears it's the same thing, but it's not. So when it comes up, if you don't take it that time, it's gone. Does that make sense? Of course, whereas unlimited desires, so you have to do that unlimited times, but at least it's a step forward. You know, so this thing is, it's an ocean, I'm overwhelmed, there's too many, no, there's so many desires, but this one is, you only have to deal with one at a time. You know what I'm saying? So you don't deal with that one, and then, does that make sense? So it's not like I'm incapable, overwhelmed, and you know, I'm not in control of anything, and so insecurity develops. No, it's you just simply have to deal with this one. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's very complex, there's various aspects of it. So in other words, you're always dealing with, I perform the activity, it then grows into the situation that I get my results. Where I get my results is where I again perform the activities based on those. But at the same time, so when I perform the activity, it makes that other branch, starts, you know, it creates that other desire, right? That then in the situation of prarabdha will be available to take advantage of. Does that make sense? So it can be seen in a straight line, but at the same time is that bijam is also, it's duplicated. Right? Does that make sense? So that's sometimes why it's not necessarily understood. So sometimes that's also called kutaj. Right? That the seed has sprouted something else. You know, the seed has sprouted, made another desire. Like that. So sometimes these terminologies are used. And so it may be confusing from one explanation of it to another. And especially from one translation to another. Because the you have so many synonyms and so many. Okay? Okay, so for Monday then we'll start the Chaitanya Shikshamrita.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki Gaura And then on the other one? Oh, we're doing the Anviksha.
Okay. Everything should be here.
I'm going to decide this.
Did you give the offering to Nishingada? It's Friday today?
Sorry?
It's Friday today. So it's like nearly the end of the week.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not lying, I'm just been CJ. Okay. So you're just ringing me, yeah?
Yeah. Not
yeah. Okay. So what? Before Sunday or something?
Before Sunday, Monday. By Monday.
Because then if he can start, what he'll start Monday, presumably. Or it's more like a Premier League decision to
on Monday,
maybe
then
discuss.
Whatever will be discussed, will be decided.
Okay.